special bonus episode of the Traction GG podcast, where we're going to discuss E3 2021, and in particular, our sort of hopes and dreams and predictions. For those who don't know, E3 is a big gaming convention. Previous years, it was big press conferences, and lots of journalists went there to play games that were not yet released, and those at home could watch live streams of games being released. It's all a big, exciting thing. We're just going to talk about the racing games, of course, and the event this year runs virtually online from the 12th of June to the 15th of June, with a few events before and after. So we're going to go through each of the main publishers. I'm going to have a new guest for each of the publisher or game that we're going to talk about. So first of all is John. How are you doing, John?
I'm very well, thanks, Tom. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us today. And we're going to be talking, first of all, about Ubisoft, because Ubisoft's big press conference is called Ubisoft Forward. It's on the 12th of June, which is a Saturday. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, and 8 p.m. BST for those in the UK. Before we jump to that, though, very, very quickly, on Friday the 4th of June is Koch Primetime. Have you ever heard of Koch Primetime before, John?
I hadn't before you told me we were going to mention it in the podcast. But I've heard of the company, obviously. So,
yeah, so Koch Media, those who don't know, they own THQ Nordic and Deep Silver. And they've got this stream of announcements of games, which I could be wrong, but I think it's the first time I've ever done it. And we know nothing about it. But what I would say is they also own Milestone. So this is a little challenge for you, John. Can you name all five of the recently released Milestone racing games? No pressure and no worries if you can't.
Probably not, but I'm going to say MX21 or MXGP21, if that's even what it's called.
I'll give you that. It's MXGP 2020, but it did come out in 2021, just to confuse everybody.
Yeah, we've got the MotoGP game, the most recent MotoGP title. We've got the most recent World Superbike title.
That's two. Do you have another guess?
I don't. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I've got some other ideas. I'll let you take it away.
So Milestone released a million games. They're on at least four yearly franchise games. So there was also Supercross 4, which is like MXGP, but indoors. And they used to do World Superbike, but no more. So fair point on that one. And they also did Ride 4. All four of those came out this year on next-gen consoles. So crazy work rate. And later this year, they've got Hot Wheels Unleashed. Now, have you seen some of that, John? And are you excited for it?
Yes, I have. Four wheels is maybe slightly more my forte. As much as I enjoy two wheels, I fall off them a lot. So, Hot Wheels is definitely sounding really good. Actually, looking at the trailers and stuff, it kind of reminds me of an old game I used to play on PlayStation 2 called Groove Rider, which is kind of based on Skeletrics and slot cars and stuff. It was a track indoors, so you'd be driving around your living room or your kitchen. And this Hot Wheel trailer really gave me those kind of vibes, but obviously you're not stuck in a particular lane you can drive around. So I'm very excited about it. I think something needs to come up and bring the game to Mario Kart and the likes for the arcade racer.
Right, exactly. There's definitely a gap in the market. That's a very, very good point. So we're purely speculating that you might see a bit more of that during Koch Primetime. We don't know. It might be all Deep Silver related non-racing games, but tune in just to see if there's more Hot Wheels. Not all the venues for the game have been announced yet. There's going to be over 60 cars and only maybe about 20 have been revealed at this point. So our prediction kind of is, let's see the final bit of the game before it comes out, I think, in September. So on with Ubisoft then. Very quickly, John, are you excited for Just Dance 2021?
Oh, you know me so well, of course I am. Well, I mean, to be honest, personally, not super excited, but I know that millions of people listening, and probably a lot of people listening to this podcast, are excited because it's clearly a very popular game. I might use the dance mat stuff for something else, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, the only reason I mentioned Just Dance is because Ubisoft Forward it covers all the games that they make. You know, Assassin's Creed is probably going to be the new Rainbow Six there this year. They've got For Honor, they've got Watch Dogs, all these big franchises. We're only interested in the racing game ones. But a significant portion of the presentation each year is about Just Dance, with people dressed up and they're dancing around on the stage. Gaming fans get annoyed, but ultimately probably Just Dance sells more than any other Ubisoft game. So there's a reason it's in there. So we know for certain, that the current Trackmania game is going to be in this presentation. So John, could you just briefly explain what the current Trackmania game is? Because at the minute, it is only on PC, correct?
Yeah, correct. So the most recent version of Trackmania is just titled Trackmania, but it was actually, I think it was the last game Ubisoft released before last year's convention or for, Ubisoft Forward event. So they were talking about it a lot at the start of last year's event. But this time, obviously, we're going to be seeing some updates of some kind to the game. We know that's going to be coming. They have confirmed it. We don't quite know what those are going to be yet. Trackmania itself is kind of an arcade racer. It's very hard to explain Trackmania. You can maybe you need to go on YouTube. We've actually got a video on Traction. Not going to plug that too hard, but you can go and see what it's all about. But basically, you've got a strange kind of subscription model with this game where you can either play the starter version for free, which includes a few little features, nothing too exciting, or you can pay money on a yearly basis for either a standard subscription or a club subscription. You can pay up to 3 years at a time. So I think it's $60 is the most expensive for 3 years of the club subscription, $30 for 1 year, or $10 for the kind of standard edition, which gives you a few things but not the whole game. So it's a bit of a strange one.
It is a bit of a strange one. It's like a full reboot for the series. And for those who don't know, you're in like these little cars, futuristic looking cars, and it's almost like time trials is the main sort of basis. Like you have these weird levels and you're all trying to beat the time, get the gold, and above gold there's another one that's like secret. I can't remember the name of it. And the new one adds an online element, correct? So there's a tournament mode where you can race online, I believe.
It's a difficult game to explain in words because it's quite funny, but Tom summed up pretty well. Yeah, and there's tournament modes. They have a new daily cup mode where I think this 2,000 people enter and then the top 64 go into knockouts, and that's a really, really cool feature. So there's a lot of exciting stuff with this game. It's yet to be kind of completed, I guess, and we're going to see if there's anything more to be added to that. I'd be quite interested to see.
Yeah, one weird thing that's just come to me now is that it seems to be very popular with a new kind of esports because it's ghost racing. You're racing against, you can't contact other people, but because it's all time-based and with these tournament modes, you are racing online. I'm wondering if they announce some sort of esports league or something like that, but that almost seems not big enough news for Ubisoft Forward, right? So
yeah.
You mentioned there you can get up to a 3-year subscription, but at some point, the game, they won't support that game forever, right? So we do know, though, at least from that, they're going to support it for another 3 years, right? I mean, could they ever stop the subscription model? I mean, that might be a bit difficult, right?
Well, I think doing that is going to anger maybe some people that have already paid for their 3 years and thinking, well, I could have got away with less money. I mean, maybe there'll be a solution for that. But we'll have to wait and see. I don't think it'll be an esports thing, if I was being honest, my own personal opinion, because they've already got their, you know, World Cup type modes, Grand League and stuff like that. I don't know too much about them, but they've got that side of things covered. And I think you're right. I don't think this is the kind of thing they would announce. I'm thinking maybe we haven't seen a console version of Trackmania since Trackmania Turbo back in 2015 when that was launched. So I'm thinking much more along the lines of, you know, is there going to be a next gen version of Trackmania coming? Because I think that's where the speculation lies at the moment.
Oh, I'd love that. I mean, yeah, like you say, it's been 5 or 6 years since Trackmania Turbo. I played it a lot on the PlayStation, for example, PS4, and I really enjoyed it. And I think for many, that was actually, the Trackmania series has been around for a while, been very popular, but the console versions of the Trackmania Turbo introduced a new audience to it. And I think if they really want this game to sort of take to the next level with these new next-gen consoles, with the extra power, I think they could easily run Trackmania. And I would love to see that. And it would make sense for that announcement of that sort, of that magnitude, to be in a press conference.
Exactly, like right? Exactly. And also, Trackmania is perfectly suited to console gameplay. Because
it is, right?
It's a controller game, effectively. I mean, I tried it on the wheel. Would not recommend. Stick to the controller. But yeah, it's a perfect game for console. It's a perfect game for kicking back with your friends, racing online. And it does require pretty heavy hardware because there's so much customization with the maps and everything happens very quickly. So this would be perfect to me. I don't see any downside to this. And I kind of hope that is what's implemented. But let's wait and see.
Okay. Yeah, so looking forward to it, but our prediction there, and I think we both agreed on it, is a next-gen console version of the current Trackmania, please and thank you. So before we wrap up with the Ubisoft element of this podcast, we'll talk about Microsoft and Bethesda and Nintendo with another guest soon. If you keep listening, we're just going to touch very briefly on The Crew 2, a game that's been out for a number of years now that was often forgotten, but seemingly there is a big appetite for the DLC. I think that comes mainly from the car customization. Would you like to see some more Crew 2 DLC, John?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's proving to be very popular, and it seems to, every time we think it's down, it seems to get back up again and fight back even stronger. So maybe the harder you kick it, the stronger it comes back. I don't see any issue with that at all. If people are still enjoying it, bring it on. Why not?
Yeah, I think that would be nice. They have committed to at least more content coming towards the game until the end of 2021, and it was featured in last year's briefly Ubisoft presentation as well. The only weird thing is it's sort of midway through a big content update that's already come out, so the timing might be weird to announce the next one. It might be a bit too far away. So maybe we will, maybe we won't see it. Another game I'd love a next-gen console version of, though, please, because the loading times are a bit intense.
So that would be good. That would be good.
Yeah, that would be great. It didn't even need like a big revision or new textures or shadows. Just make use of the SSD, please, Ubisoft. But not sure we'll see that. All right, so that's about it for Ubisoft. Thanks for joining us, John. We're saying that there's probably not going to be much for the Crew 2, even though we'd like a next-gen version, but we're going to go out on a limb and predict a next-gen version for consoles of Trackmania. All right, so next up, we're going to talk Microsoft, or more specifically, Microsoft and Bethesda, because this is the first E3 since the Seattle tech giant did buy ZeniMax Media for $7.5 billion. And they're going to have this E3 stream together, as opposed to two separate ones, on Sunday the 13th of June at 10 a.m. Eastern Time for those in America and 3 p.m. BST for those in the UK. Joining us to talk about this is Justin Sutton. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Ready to talk about some E3 for Microsoft?
Yeah, absolutely. I think certainly we're going to be talking more about Microsoft and Xbox than we will about Bethesda.
Yeah, so just to be clear, we don't think that Bethesda will do any racing games. As an aside about general video games in general, though, it will be interesting to see what they show, because Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo, the next Bethesda games, are not coming to the Microsoft Store or Xbox initially. So that's a bit awkward. But anyway, aside from that, we're going to talk about Microsoft, because we think that there might be some racing games there. So first of all, Justin, do you think that the next Forza Motorsport will be at this E3 showcase?
So that's a tough one. There's been a lot of talk about this, and we've talked about it even on our website and on our social media and stuff like that. And it's the next one that's due. So for those that are unaware, that are uninitiated when it comes to Forza Motorsport / Horizon and their TikTok alternating schedule, TikTok like the clock, not the app. Then it's Horizon 4 was the last title, which would mean that Motorsport 8, which it won't be called that, but the next Motorsport title is due next.
What?
Do I think? I don't know if it's gonna if they're gonna show it. It's gonna be, I think, not gameplay. It's gonna be very much a teaser trailer to kind of give you the vibe of it. It's not gonna give you details.
Yeah, the interesting thing with this game is so. They recently came out on a Forza monthly stream and confirmed that it's definitely called Forza Motorsport.
Yeah,
it's a reboot. And they talked about all sorts of new things for it. So new tire models and things like this.
Yep.
They have previously showed the game, but again, it was, like you've said, not gameplay.
Yeah.
So at this point, people will be anticipating, well, it must be coming out soon, right? But I also think that potentially the pandemic has maybe hindered track and car scanning. Maybe not. That depends on how they operate as a business. But if it's a complete reboot, it might be further away than we think. The title suggests that it's a full reboot, though, right?
Right. And, I mean, this is the perfect time to kind of do that as well, because people are already, you know, not expecting anything right away because of the pandemic and everything like that. So, you know, if Microsoft does want to, and clearly they do, if they want to completely start over from scratch, sort of with Motorsport, and the changes sound fantastic, by the way. Yeah. I will say, as somebody who really did recently in a podcast episode said that they should just do away with Motorsport entirely, it does sound like they are steering the ship down the right path. You know, that they're heading in a new direction. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so we know that they have been doing some playtests, because anyone could sign up to the playtest, but then only a select few got in there. So there is something playable already in some form. We don't know what shape or form, how good it is, how bad, how far into development. And we know that there's going to be a new tire model, which is when they're talking about tire models in previous Forza Motorsport games, when they've had, like, in 2017 on E3, they had like the Porsche 911 GT2 coming from the stage with dry ice around it, and they were talking about it's the best racing game ever, but they were never actually saying, oh, because of XYZ. It was more about there's all these cars in the game and you can play it online. Now the phraseology is very different. It's more serious. And we know that there's going to be different tire compounds, fuel strategies, things that have been sorely missing from the Motorsport games of late. But again, I wonder if that's further away than we think, basically.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. Just because, you know, it has something playable doesn't mean that exactly. It's anywhere near ready or anything like that. And now is like I mentioned before, now is the optimal time to kind of break that that schedule that they've had going. And it really, Motorsport is kind of the, you know, you look at it and you go, why can't you be more like your brother? You know, kind of situation. So I think it definitely needs more help than Horizon does. Horizon has found a formula and is fully prepared to stick with it, much to the delight of everybody that's played Forza games. Whereas Motorsport, needs that extra time. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think we could end up seeing both games showed at E3, potentially. I think maybe potentially Horizon getting a little bit more attention.
Yeah, so let's just talk about that. So it's also been a while since last Forza Horizon 4 in 2018. There's been constant monthly DLC and free car updates for that game, which even as recently as this month that we've been talking about, there will be something for it. So then it might be perhaps surprising that we're talking about a potential reveal of a new one. However, there have been many rumours out there. First it was Japan, then it's Mexico. Just quickly, in one word, which do you think it is?
I think Mexico.
I'm going to agree with that.
Yeah, I think Mexico. Because they said Japan for Forza Horizon 4 even, I think, and that ended up not being true.
That just seems very complicated to develop, the intricacies of the tight pack to Tokyo, for example.
Yeah.
But recently there were some diecast models that were leaked, which looked to be complete.
Yes.
Hot Wheels. They had a background of a beach. These were cars branded Forza Horizon, and these cars were not in the current Forza Horizon game. That adds credence to the fact that there might be a new Horizon soon. I could be wrong, but I think these diecast models were slated to be released later this year, so that would make sense as like a nice marketing tie-up. We know that Hot Wheels and Forza work very close together as well. So you also mentioned there that the Horizon series has its formula. So therefore, could it be potentially quicker to develop and get out Horizon before the next Motorsport, which is a complete redo?
Yeah, certainly. Again, I especially think this because the Horizon side of Forza is in a better place. You know, it's the most played racing game of recent years, certainly on Steam and stuff like that. It's up there. You know, it's been played by so many, especially because of the Xbox Game Pass and stuff like that. It's opened a lot of doors for that franchise. And, you know, they kind of kill off those games. So, you know, it's hard to, like, jump into the old Forza games. So it's
it's impossible. Let's just put it that way. Unless you have a used physical copy, which is a bit of a shame, but that's for another time.
Exactly. So yeah, certainly. And you know, just to go back on the Hot Wheels thing, there are beaches in Japan, but I still think that it's going to be Mexico
and Scotland.
That's true. But I still think it is going to be in Japan, or excuse me, in Mexico. Well, I think it's a better location as well too.
Yeah. So. Are you predicting that a new Forza Horizon will be there? Just get it in black and white, and it'll be in Mexico, and it'll be out this year.
All but the out this year part. I would say there is a possibility that maybe it's for next year, but certainly that is what they've done historically, is that they've announced the game at E3 for release that year, you know, before the holiday season to get everybody buying it and everything like that. So I'd say that's very, very likely. It's also possible that maybe not, but I think almost definitely they're going to talk about Forza Horizon. And I think almost definitely it's going to be in Mexico. I just don't know if it's going to be this year or not, but I think it's very likely.
I would agree with that. I'm going to say that Forza Horizon 5, we'll call it that for now. The next one will be shown off. I think Microsoft is in need of a big sort of tentpole exclusive game at the minute. We already know that Halo was going to be that launch game and it was delayed by a year or thereabouts. But I'm also hesitant on releasing this year, which does seem to be bandied about at the minute. If it is, that's a really nice surprise.
Yeah, I hope it is.
It kind of smells like a March 22 thing, even if they announce it about this year, because all the games that Microsoft has shown off so far haven't really come out yet. But this, you know, each development team is separate to each other in many respects, right? So these guys could be going on it. But I would also mention that Playground Games is also working on a Fable game, which uses the Forza game engine. They're a busy, busy bunch of people. So we'll see. So I think that just about wraps up our Microsoft thing. I would say, though, that very quickly, there could be some third-party racing games announced at the show as well. You never know. Mm-hmm. But if they're talking about Forza, they probably won't want those to sort of take away the limelight. Forza.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to say is then we might see a little teaser trailer for both, which might confuse some people. But we'll definitely see Forza Horizon. So be sure to check out that conference. And thanks for joining us to talk about that, Justin.
Thank you for having me. I am thrilled to see E3.
So far on this episode of the podcast, we've talked about Koch, Ubisoft, and Microsoft. Now it's the turn of Nintendo. Nintendo is at E3 2021. Well, it's not actually there. It's got a stream during the weekend. That's on Tuesday, the 15th of June at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for those in America, 5 p.m. BST for those in the UK. So joining us to discuss that is Rich. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very nice. Happy to have you along. You ready to talk some Nintendo?
Absolutely.
Good. So it's a Nintendo Direct, so there's going to be lots of lovely Switch games. There were some rumors about potential Switch hardware to be announced or coming later this year. But it seems that Nintendo has stamped out those rumors because they've said it will be focused exclusively on Nintendo Switch software.
Yeah.
So, Rich, is it time for some new Switch hardware? Do you have any opinions about the hardware itself, first of all?
Well, very quickly, Nintendo do this a lot. They say on Twitter that we're not going to show this or that, and then they go and show this or that. They've done that on multiple times in the past. So take any tweet by Nintendo of America with a pinch of salt. Yeah. In terms of whether we want any new Switch hardware, honestly, no. I think the idea of a Switch Pro, because everyone's throwing around 4K, which is very 2016. Nintendo have never been one to push for trying to get to high resolutions, trying to get to high frame rates. They focus on the games. It's why, you know, you dig out the Wii over Christmas, like I did, and it looks terrible because it's running at 480i, but it didn't matter because Wii Sports and bowling was great to play. Right. So Nintendo pushing for like a 4K system doesn't seem much like them. And I think, I think there's still people trying to get their head around the Switch hardware. It's been out for 4 years now. And I think even Nintendo are still getting their head around it because they've had some titles that have wobbled on even the base Switch. If they try and push for 4K and stuff going from here, I think it's a bit of a pointless endeavor, basically. Well, a revised Switch with maybe like, you know, a more ergonomic controller or just generally better because they have done a revision once. Right. Like, fine, but a full-on Switch Pro as they're rumoring it to be? Nah.
I'm going to be really boring and agree with you on that front, which means we're both going to be completely wrong and they're going to announce it.
Yeah,
I don't think it's necessarily time for it. I know that a lot of hardcore gamers will want to see more resolution from the Switch, and a lot of people play the Switch a lot and would like to see more of that. But you're right, it's not the Nintendo way of things, thinking about motion controls. The fact that they're only basically the only people making portable hardware that isn't like a smartphone these days. So they're going to do their own thing, and I'm fine. So we'll have to keep our eyes peeled, but I think we're predicting no Switch hardware there, or certainly not in 4K. So in terms of games, though, we're obviously going to be talking about racing games because that's what we do at Traction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the best-selling racing game of all time is Mario Kart 8, if you combine the Wii U and the deluxe version of Switch together. But technically, the base version of that game didn't come out since, it came out in 2014, so it's been 7 years. Do you think the time is right for Mario Kart 9?
Oh, absolutely. I've been clamoring for it forever. As you say, 2014 for the original version, 2017, because it launched alongside the Switch 4 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, 8 Deluxe is wonderful. I love it. I play it a lot. But, you know, too much of a good thing. I would like something new.
Same here. But do I think it will happen, though? That's the second question. I think it won't happen, unfortunately, just to let you know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, Mario Kart and their sort of announcements, they don't have much of a big fanfare. Nintendo don't really do that. Like, literally, as of recording, they've just announced Battlefield 2042, and they're hyping that up for the big full reveal. Nintendo don't do that. They just come out and go, here's the game. There it is. Like, you can buy it from this point, and off we go. They don't build up to this. So things like the last the last official Mario Kart game we got was Home Circuit, which is very cool. I've played it once, but it's cool. And that just came out of nowhere. So right. With something like Mario Kart, I think you just have to watch the direct and hope that there'll never be any big build-up to it. But it does feel like the right time. The other thing is the idea of whether we'd get DLC for 8. Yeah. And I think if we were, we'd have had it by now.
Yeah, so there was a patch recently for Mario Kart 8 out of nowhere, and it fixed some sort of leaderboard bugs. And so I think we wrote an article even suggesting, could this be something more?
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz around that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird time to patch the game after a very, very long time like that. Yeah. And it would be nice to have some DLC for the game. But again, it's Nintendo, who knows? I mean, would you settle for some DLC for it?
I would settle. Yeah, I'd be happy with some DLC, but I think I would be happier with a full game. I mean, you look at how Nintendo have catered to the Switch by porting a lot of things and charging full price for them again.
Yeah.
I think it's more in Nintendo's interest on a Mario Kart side for a game that is 4 or 7 years old, depending on which side, I guess, you stand on. It's more in their interest to sell another £50 game than selling a $12.99 DLC because they know that people will pay it, me being one of those people.
Yeah, and listen, Nintendo does do downloadable content, but as you said there, its main business model is those physical game cartridges from a supermarket, actually. Yeah. If you look at the physical sales for games, Nintendo is in the UK anyway, is in like 5 of the top 10 positions every week still.
Yeah.
So they've got this younger audience as well, so I would like some DLC, maybe some Diddy Kong Racing Team DLC, right? But probably
Nintendo probably 64 on the next virtual console thing, with Diddy Kong Racing and Mario Kart 64. That could happen. That could be a big thing. I'm surprised I've not heard people ask about that yet. I think people have forgotten about the backwards compatible stuff on the Switch. That could be a thing. It is E3.
I think if we're going to see something, and it's as Nintendo of America does say, exclusively talking about software, some N64 racing games on the Switch will be gangbusters and generate so much hype. A lot of people will be big fans. Like for me, for example, I'd like to see a new F-Zero game, but the hopes of that diminish by the day even now. So having the N64 games on the Switch could be a good prediction there, I think.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Do you think Nintendo will ever do racing games other than Mario Kart? That's quite a big question. Ever again?
I mean, as you say, F-Zero, maybe. There was kind of a little resurgence for things like Wipeout when that came back on the PS4 in the Omega collection.
Yep.
But that, as far as I remember, didn't really make as many waves as they'd hoped. So maybe, because F-Zero is in that same kind of ballpark, maybe they're not as keen. Although, is it Super RMX came out on the Switch around launch, and that was really popular. Yep. But again, maybe if that was popular then, they would have done F-Zero on the Switch by now. But maybe they might turn around and do a brand new thing, or they'll just do, ideally, back to the Mario Kart thing.
Yeah,
you know, Smash Brothers Ultimate was really successful. It's really, really good. They just had just everything. Let's put it all in one game. You do the same for Mario Kart. That's the kind of game you can leave for 7 or more years and just leave.
Yeah.
If you put everything in it, then you can leave it alone.
Right. So I think that just about covers what we're going to say about Nintendo, this one. I would say that there might be non-Nintendo games ported to Switch that are racing games. We recently saw SnowRunner be released on there, which is actually quite surprising. It's more of a serious game. So it could be worthwhile tuning into the Nintendo Direct for non-Nintendo games as well on the go. But also, I think what we're saying is, maybe no Switch hardware, maybe no DLC for Mario Kart, maybe not Mario Kart 9, but possibly some N64 games on the online subscription service and a Mario Kart package, which includes like loads of stuff from previous games. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, that's what we're looking forward to from Nintendo. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
All right. So to wrap up this E3 episode of the Traction GG podcast, joining us is Justin Melillo to talk about all sorts of other weird and wonderful stuff. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Nice. Okay, we're going to rattle through all sorts of things here because we've done a lot of speculation about sort of the main publishers, which we think will definitely have some racing games. Now we're going to talk about somewhere we're not too sure, but hopefully they do, and also some events that are going to be happening after E3, but are still kind of part of this Summer Games Fest and summer period where they do lots of announcements and press releases and stuff. So a small mention to the Square Enix presentation, which everyone can watch live. That's on Sunday, the 13th of June at 12:15 p.m. Eastern Time for those in America and 5:15 p.m. BST for those in the UK. And the reason we're going to talk about this very briefly is because, well, there's going to be some Final Fantasy games there, right? But Square Enix also has this Square Enix Collective, which is like an indie publishing division of Square Enix. They're currently, for those who don't know, working on Circuit Superstars, which is a cool top-down racer, which will be coming to console later in the year. So we might see some more details for that. And also, they're doing a game which Justin's been investigating recently, which is
Power Wash Simulator, which it's not a driving game or a simulator, but it is a good relaxing time, and it's good for my OCD, which I probably spent about an hour and a half trying to get some dirt off of a blue van for for the beginning stage. So very relaxing time.
Yeah, and it's got vehicles in it, so therefore that's the tenuous link, everybody. It's also just a bit weird and interesting, and I think that sets the template for what we might see amongst the Final Fantasy and an action-adventure game by Platinum Games they're going to be talking about there, I think. This will be like, oh, here's a sizzle reel with Power Wash Simulator, Circuit Superstars, and so we're going to keep our eyes peeled for some of that, especially because Justin loves the power washing, apparently.
I'd love to do it in real life, too.
Well, there we go.
I'm kidding.
Nice. So then it's worth mentioning there's going to be a PC gaming show and the Future Game Show on the same day, the Sunday, 2:30 p.m. is going to kick off. They're back-to-back Eastern time, that is, for America, and 7:30 p.m. for those in the UK BST. Usually there's not too much here. Often there can be even repeated trailers from other showcases just to say, hey, don't forget it's on PC, everybody. So I don't think we would expect like a new PC racing simulator to be announced there, if that's fair, Justin. Doesn't seem to be the trend.
Nah, I'm not really feeling like we're going to have anything from that or anything from the indie game show either. Indie games are great, though. I mean, some of the best games like Among Us and Rocket League have come from indie developers. So we could get a surprise this year. I'll keep my eyes out, but I'm not really expecting too much of it.
Correct. We basically don't know anything that's going to be coming there ahead of time. Like you mentioned, the indie games showcase there. Good point. That's on Monday, the 14th of June at 12 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. BST. There could be some nice little small games to play that are in the racing genre, and so we'll definitely keep our eyes peeled. And speaking of which, it's worth mentioning the Steam Next Fest, which I find very difficult to say. Don't know about you, Justin. What's it called?
Next Fest. There we go. Really.
And this is, there's going to be some videos and stuff and maybe some streams, but it's not technically an E3 broadcast, but it happens the day after E3 ends, right? So starting from the 16th of June for a limited period till the 22nd of June, those with a PC and Steam will be able to download hundreds of game demos. Now, on the website, none of them are racing games at the minute, but we do know that there are going to be at least a couple of racing games in there, which we can't say at the minute, and there'll be lots of smaller indie titles already. So will you be checking out some of these limited time demos, Justin?
Oh, absolutely. It's racing games, and I'm really getting a liking on the different things that I've been able to see in the short time that I've been here. Nice. I wish it was 100 racing games just to wet my whistle for the entire week. But what we get is what we get, and I won't get upset, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Steam's got in store for us.
Yeah, and we will have coverage on any of the games that are racing-related or vehicle-related in this in the days and weeks that follow. So we will be trying to try them out, all of them. And for those with a PC, we would definitely recommend dipping into this and trying something that's not normally in your wheelhouse, because it might surprise you. And for those on console, don't worry. Some of these games will most likely be coming to console at a later date. This is almost like an early preview for those who are really into it. So it's also still worth checking out to see what's there and watching and following our coverage, because it might be coming to your device soon. So they're sort of the ones that are smaller for us, let's say, where we'll be watching, but we don't know what's there. But let's move on to, I don't know how to say this. Is it Nacon or Nacon, Justin? What's the official word on this?
It's Nacon. I watched last year's video just to make sure. Nacon, like the Nacon. Horse. Nay.
Nacon. Thank you. Yeah, good analogy there with the horse. I'll still probably get it wrong before the end of this chat. So this is Tuesday, the 6th of July, 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. BST. Live on their YouTube channel. It was last year anyway. And it's worth tuning in because the teaser for the event or the image has a car on it. So straight away, that's a good sign. It's an Aston Martin, which I think is from a game they've talked about previously. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we know that a trailer dropped in April for Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown. So that's probably what it is. They did say in that trailer that the next chapter was coming in July. Yep. And Nacon Connect happens to be in July. So,
oh, funny that.
It works out pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Now, so far, there's been zero gameplay for this game. We also do not know when the ETA, when it's going to be released, right? So I think the time is right to show some gameplay. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, but everything we've seen so far is just like CGI at the minute.
Right, yeah, it'll be good to see. I've never honestly played the Test Drive games, but just from what I've seen in the trailers and from what I've seen online and in the little bit of research that I've done, it is popular, and people are speculating all over the place where
they're going wild, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot of speculation. I'd like to see it personally in like if it takes place in like Las Vegas or something like that, honestly, but probably not.
Well, you know, it could be a good shout because a big part of the teaser trailer and what we know so far is there's going to be a gambling element to the game and it has footage in a casino. How that actually works, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be like pink slips where you beat people and you win you gamble the car, right? I think in a teaser trailer, they put the keys down on top of the chips.
So, yeah.
So a bit cheesy, but it insinuates that you're going to have to be battling for other people's cars. All right. So I think we're both looking forward to it. Tentative, but pretty confident in saying that Nacon Connect will have at least more on this game, and we hope it's gameplay. Nacon also publishes other racing games. So there's WRC 10, which we know is coming out, has been revealed, and Rims Racing, which is like a weird, different alternative take on a motorcycle game. Would you be interested in seeing any more of these games in particular as they approach release?
Hey, any love to racing games in general, I'm totally down for. I don't know anything about either of those. I don't know anything about motorcycle racing. Nope. I don't know anything about anything with WRC, but I'm learning to love. And and if they've got anything for us, I'm all ears and all eyes.
Yeah, that's kind of why you're in this sixth segment of the game, right? Because especially for Rims Racing, that's an all-new franchise, which I'm fairly certain in the podcast so far, we have not touched upon at all. And that just shows how the industry is reliant on like reboots and sequels and remasters and remakes and DLC. And basically, that's kind of all we've mentioned so far. So this is, at the minute, the outlier. It's the only sort of all-new game. And it almost focuses less on the on-track action and more on the parts and the tuning as like an educational tool, I think. So, as you said there, you don't necessarily know too much about motorcycle games, right? So, but would you be interested in a game that teaches you more about the motorcycles? Because I think this game could be that.
Yeah, definitely. And even, you know, starting back when I started, I got into that indie game motorcycle, motorbike simulator or something like that. And that teaches you kind of the mechanics. So if this teaches me more of the racing side of things, then definitely I would love to learn more about it.
It's going to teach you all about the parts, too. So, hey, if that gives you extra context for other games in the future, I would recommend checking out Nacon Connect and Rims Racing. So that covers that one. That is relatively soon after E3. Further out to that, and this is where we're really going to speculate now, is EA Play Live. So normally this is within the time of E3. In fact, and going back before COVID-19, EA would have a giant stage with a crowd, and they'd be like, FIFA! Madden, Need for Speed. Not this year. It's going to be like an online stream like it was last year for them. It's on Thursday, the 22nd of July. So we are talking far out from this. It's a, you know, it's a month and a bit away. As we record this, they did just show, though, just to sort of pull the rug out of the carpet from everyone at E3, the Battlefield footage. Not that that's racing games. So what do you think, from a racing game point of view, might be at the EA Play Live? Because we know that Need for Speed is delayed, so will it be there or not?
Yes, it's delayed until 2022 now, and you know, with things starting to lean back to the side of normalcy after the pandemic and everything that happened, it's hopefully going to be, you know, it's coming out next year, we know that. So if it's only a couple months into the year, why not release something now just to get everybody, you know, some sort of tease of what's going on with it. I personally, with Need for Speed, I played it a bunch during my childhood. I haven't really played much of the new stuff that's been there, but
well,
it's
you're not alone with that, is what I was going to rudely interrupt and say, because the recent ones are fine and solid in my opinion, and they're definitely loved by many people, but for me they used to be even better. So I mentioned Battlefield there because the Criterion, the studio developing the next Need for Speed, have the reason it's delayed is because they're helping out with Battlefield, right?
Right.
So I agree with you. I think this is the time to show a teaser, but gameplay might be too far away because they're busy developing Battlefield. Is that a fair compromise, do you think?
Yeah, they haven't really given us much. We don't know. It's all pure speculation at this point, and it's not going to be here for more than a month away, being that it's in the middle end of July. So, you know, Criterion really hasn't given us much to look forward to besides, you know, a couple screenshots, but I would love to see something. It would be great.
It would be great. So we're fingers crossed for at least a teaser. I think that's what we're saying as a prediction.
Definitely.
And the other thing, I guess, to finish off with EA and finish this segment of the podcast off quickly, is that they bought Codemasters, a British-based racing game, purely racing game studio these days, for $1.2 billion. That's not an insignificant amount of money, right?
That's a huge acquisition.
Yeah. So do you think, as EA, you have to sort of show why you've invested? And therefore, will they mention Codemasters for the first time in one of their press conferences?
I don't see why not. I mean, with it being out, it'll be out for probably a little bit more than a week at that point, or just less than a week.
Oh, Formula One. Yeah.
Yeah, Formula One game, that is. And if they want to boost some sales, they could, you know, show off some of the gameplay there from the finished product. And I mean, heck, I kind of want to try the F1 game just from all the, you know, all the stuff that you guys have been doing.
We talk about it a lot, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Definitely. Codemasters 2, they have Project Cars, and there's been rumblings about a Project Cars 4. So that's also a possibility that we might see something there as well.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. There were some tweets that were deleted, but they were out there by the studio head for the next Project Cars. It seems quite soon after the last one, but then the last one, apart from DLC, was basically not supported anymore. So clearly people are busy on something there, I would say. And I just think you've made this big acquisition. So I would agree. I think they might just mention F1 and say, by the way, this came out. I think it was, well, F1's going to be out on the 16th of July and this show is on the 22nd. So you've got 6 days in between. I think they'll just touch it and go, by the way, we've made this big investment. Here's a little sizzle reel for F1 with like the review scores or something.
You can buy it right now.
You can buy it right now. Exactly. They'll love the sales pitch there, won't they, ECA. But I'm wondering if we see like a little teaser for something else that Codemasters may or may not be working on, just to say, hey, they're doing other things and this is going to be worth our time. And I wonder if it is Project Cars or the main studio for Codemasters. I forget where it's located, but Formula One's by the Birmingham subsidiary, right? Mm-hmm. The main studio hasn't released anything since Dirt Rally 2.0, which has been quite a while. I'm wondering if they're working on something because their third studio has just released Dirt 5. So it's too soon for them, I think.
Right.
So if I was to predict something, it's going to be at least a logo for something to say, hey, it exists. What do you think about that?
Either way, I'm down for it. I just want to get something here. It's my first E3 and EA Play and Nacon Connect that I'm going to be covering as a esports and gaming journalist. So,
right, exciting times.
Definitely exciting times. I'm really coffee. Looking forward to it. I'm going to have to get plenty of it, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's set to be busy. And I just want to say, generally, this E3 is kind of weird. Obviously, there's no physical event for the second year in a row. But it also seems like companies are sort of looking at separating themselves a little bit, like EA and Nacon, just to sort of make their announcements breathe a bit. But there still will be a big buzz. And it sounds like there's going to be lots to talk about from a racing video games point of view. So you're right to be excited, Justin. I'm excited. I hope the listeners are. And I think that just about wraps up this special E3 prediction podcast, if that's okay. I would say, though, that we probably got a load wrong. So when this is released, and if stuff's been released and announced on the run-up to these shows, I can only apologize, but be sure to comment and let us know, because we'd love to hear it. And also, this is going to be released just after the Summer Games Fest Live, which we don't know if generally there's no racing games there, so we don't know if there are going to be, but there is Sony there. And I really hope that Gran Turismo 7 is not showcased, because that's going to be before this podcast released. So I can only apologize for that. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. Please do like and subscribe. It really helps on audio and YouTube platforms to get the word out there for this podcast. As ever, visit the Traction GG website for daily news. Justin will be writing loads of articles on there. And be sure to follow Traction GG on social media. Thanks for joining us, Justin, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.